Good morning. We'll continue our series here on the Beatitudes, and if you would find the extra little booklet, there's some of these in your pews, and although they all begin the same way, this today will be starting on page 15, and you will notice that in your in your missal, where it used to say third antiphon, now it says Beatitudes, and it tells you which page we're going to be on. So, we already talked about why we're doing this. We already talked about what this is. Now we're going to start to delve into the meaning of it and to connect some dots. So if you're familiar with your New Testament, you know that the Beatitudes were uttered by the Lord at the so-called Sermon on the Mount in that's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. But, you know, I mean, we have to imagine that the Lord didn't just say these once, you know. I mean, he had to go from village to village and place to place, you know, to give his teaching about the kingdom of God. That's what he was talking about, proclaiming repentance and the coming of the kingdom. Behold, the kingdom of God, you know, is at hand, right? So that theme of the kingdom seems to appear here in the Beatitudes. As a matter of fact, in the first one of the Beatitudes, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, the same thing, okay? And then if you look at one of the last ones, it says, you know, again, at the very end of the Beatitudes, again it says, "For yours is the kingdom of heaven," after you've been persecuted. So we probably need to think that all of these Beatitudes, these promises and these teachings, are about the acquisition and preserving of the kingdom of heaven. Now, when we begin singing the Beatitudes, it starts with this sort of this refrain that says, "In your kingdom, remember us, O Lord, when you come in your kingdom." Okay, that's not really part of the Beatitudes. That's actually echoes the word of the robber on the cross, that, you know, the good one that said, you know, "Remember me in your kingdom." And the Lord said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So perhaps because he, you know, the robber said that word, "Remember me in your kingdom," it's put here. I don't know. It's for liturgical singing and stuff like that. That was put here. Okay? Because it has to do with the kingdom. And another reminder, we've talked about this before. When we hear and say and speak about kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, we're not talking about a place. Like, we're going to the United Kingdom or something like that. You know, it's not a place. The kingdom of God is not food and drink. The kingdom of God is not a locale. The kingdom of God, the Lord said, the kingdom of God is within you. So kingdom in Greek, vasilia, another word in Greek, vasilion. Vasilion means a realm, a kingdom that has borders and has a, you know, king and royalty and laws and stuff like that. So vasilia, however, means the rule and the reign, okay? And so it's a code word for uncreated energy and grace of God and glory and all those things that are other ways of describing and naming the grace of God, all right? So when you think kingdom, it means the grace of God in a particular way within us. So that's how we acquire the grace of God, is what? Through believing and through baptism, right? Being baptized and being chrismated and receiving Holy Communion, all these things are coming on us, in us, for us. And that is the acquisition of the kingdom of God. And then, you know, the preserving that is by keeping the commandments and keeping the virtue and developing the virtues. So that's what this is talking about. So let's go here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. St. Luke, when he records a similar sermon, which was not on a mount, but on a level plain, if you read it carefully, we can't call that one the Sermon on the Mount because it was a sermon on the plain, okay? He simply wrote, "Blessed are the poor." Blessed are you poor, not poor in spirit. So, but it really means the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit is code for, not code, it's just another way of saying the lowly, the humble. The Lord is extolling humility, not a dejected sort of self-loathing, but simply, you know, the opposite of arrogant, the opposite of proud, the opposite of overly self-confident. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And in the ascetic writings, in the spirituality books of our church, the fathers and mothers who wrote about these things said, look, you can think of getting to heaven or, you know, getting saved, whatever, as being hard, like, you know, like you got to keep this rule and you got to do this and you got to keep that and you got all the, you know, all these things. But actually, yes, I mean, it's a lot, you know, it's a science, it's an art, it's our life, right? I mean, my gosh, it's hard. But if you think, if there's one way to get to heaven, would be humility. Because here it is. In one virtue, you get the kingdom, the promise. Blessed are the humble or the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So all the Christian life and all the virtues and all the readings and or writings and things that we learn, and even the gospels imbued with teachings and guidance and principles that will guide us to a true understanding of ourselves, which would be humility, to understand that God is God and we are this and we are all together in one, you know, we're all so much the same, and to not attribute too many things or very many things to ourselves, but to keep it in perspective of what we receive from God and what we are and what we do, and really are, that is humility. I remember being speaking to a spiritual father, and he said, humility means vasis. It doesn't mean, I'm nothing, and I'm a sinner. I mean, whatever. He says, humility is understanding reality. And if we understand reality, then we realize where we are, where God is, and that we are all kind of the same, and probably we have a higher esteem of ourselves than we should oftentimes, you know. And so the gospel teachings and the teachings of the fathers are all about forcing our frame of mind and forcing our attitude about ourselves a little bit lower, even through saying things even worse than ourselves to ourselves, you know, just because naturally or unnaturally, we usually say better things about ourselves and think higher things about ourselves than are true or necessary. So the ascetic practices of the little healthy self-reproach, you know, of treating other people better than ourselves and, you know, praising rather than being praised and all those kinds of things are all about keeping us humble. Why? Blessed are the poor in spirit, because that's the ticket, one shot, to the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's a lot of things in between. I mean, it's simple. It could be simple, but, you know, we can delve into it. So another virtue. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who grieve. And as I read some things here so I could share with you. This doesn't mean, you know, grieving necessarily like we do at a funeral, you know, or, you know, grief at losing something or losing your job, anytime that you're sad. It's not speaking about just any old kind of grief and sadness, okay? It's referring to grieving about the fallen state of humanity, grieving about our own sins, grieving about the fact that we may be distant from God, grieving that maybe we haven't reached the mark that God, you know, is pushing us up to, and grieving about ourselves and grieving about and for other people. So a spiritual kind of grief. And then there's a whole lot of literature and a whole lot of spiritual guidance in our tradition about the parameters of that grief so that it doesn't become, you know, utter depression and, you know, suicidal or anything like that, you know, nor does it become, you know. So all these things are segues into more. And one more today. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness can also be described as gentleness. And we can maybe imagine what that is. But I'll give you another dimension in the book called The Ladder of Divine Ascent that we celebrate St. John of the Ladder on the fourth Sunday of Lent. he describes all these things in great detail, but he says, what is meant by meek, prais, praotis? He says, among other things, that it is to remain in the same disposition both when we are praised and when we are criticized, but to be, you know, level and even keeled, no matter, you know, to be the same. So gentleness can mean gentleness in our interactions with others, but it can also have this other sort of dimension of being like even keeled and not too up and not too down. With that, let's stand and we're going to sing these on page 15. In your kingdom, remember us, O Lord, when you come in your kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Remember us, O Christ and Savior of the whole world, as upon the cross you remembered the robber, and count us worthy of your heavenly rule and kingdom, since you alone, O Lord, are merciful.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Adam and Eve, rejoice as you hear that the devil who a long time ago stripped you naked and took the both of you hostage when he deceived you and has destroyed by the cross of Christ.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Adam from the curse of the tree was delivered when of your own will to the tree you were fastened, and you restored to him the image of God, O Savior, and put him back again in paradise.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. From the grave today has Christ truly risen, granting incorruption to all the believers. After his passion, his burial, and resurrection, he gave the murmuring women joy.
Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Murmurers rejoice, you wise and holy women. You were first to see our Savior's resurrection, and you announced the good tidings to his apostles, the restoration of the universe.
Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Beloved friends of Christ, O holy apostles, since you will be with him enthroned in glory, as his disciples intercede for us and entreat him, that we may face him with confidence.
Glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, eternal Trinity and undivided essence, moan at one enthroned in honor and in glory. The nature kingdom and rule beyond all beginning, save us who sing your praises faithfully.
Both now and ever and to the ages of ages, amen. Spacious place of God, rejoice, blessed Virgin, Ark of the New Covenant, rejoice, Theotokos. O golden jar from which the heavenly manna was given unto all.